This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 960.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or Douglas WrightLaw.com.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Well, it is a crazy week weather-wise in the Southeast Mid-Atlantic portion of the country, with Hurricane Florence just hammering the Carolina coasts. A very stressful time, and I'm sure that many of our alphas and lieutenants that are in the Carolina area are up to their ass in alligators, as the great Manuel Quesada would like to say, a figure of speech. I can certainly relate, having had to evacuate last year from the cigar city of Tampa up to Charleston, South Carolina for Hurricane Irma. And to those of you that are going through the battering, and hopefully now the worst is over, it is not a pleasant time. It is a stressful time. And we wish all of our alphas and lieutenants, all of our listeners in the Carolinas and the Southeast, well, not fun at all. Long-ash greetings and salutations. A long-ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Your commanding five-star global general and Alpha male in chief from Command Center Alpha here in the Cigar City of Tampa. I tell you, I remember 1 year ago, almost to the week, having to grab a go bag and grab my German Shepherd and evacuate to the Charleston, South Carolina area. And I can tell you that the folks that were at the hotel I stayed at and everybody I came across were extremely accommodative. They couldn't have been friendlier, could not have been nicer. And as we look at the video and the pictures coming out of the Carolinas, it is just the amount of water just staggering. And people are saying, well, it's not that it went from a Category 4 down to a 3 to a 1 when it hit. Not that bad. Trust me. It's not just the wind. It is the water. It is the tidal surge. You've got the high tides that are going in. You've got all this water being pushed in. And for those people, I saw yesterday, I'm watching on the various news networks, people in New Bern, North Carolina, and some people in Wilmington, North Carolina, who despite repeatedly being told thousands of times, this is going to be a major storm. There is going to be flooding. It's not just the wind. You must evacuate. Get out. We cannot rescue you during the hurricane. We're not going to send out first responders when there's howling winds, rain, lightning, flooding. It is not going to happen. Shelters were open. The roads, the Contraflow was opened up in the Carolinas. You were told from the president on down, between tweets from the president, between FEMA, between the governors, between mayors saying, get out, evacuate. And then I watch on the cable news these idiots saying, well, you know, we think we're going to stick around. I've ridden through these hurricanes before. Big deal. Well, it is a big deal, especially when you've got a slow-moving system moving at 5 miles an hour that is just pummeling the region with water. I mean, we're talking up to, 20, 30 inches of water. And not only that, but you're talking about massive amounts of storm surge coming in from the ocean, filling up all these various rivers. It is a disaster area. And yet, these dumbasses refuse to listen to common sense. They refuse to listen to the authorities saying, get out. This is not, we're not kidding around. I don't know how many times governors have to tell people. But you know, as I've realized, there's a certain contingency of humans, not just Americans, people in the world. I don't know what the percentage is. They're just plain stupid. They're dumb. Now, for those of us that are incredibly smart, all of us alphas, it works to our advantage because when we're negotiating with them in business or we're dealing with them in certain situations, it works to our advantage. Stupidity pays, especially if you're bright and smart and have common sense. But there is a certain contingency of people that no matter what you say, no matter what evidence you present, they are still stupid. They are dumbasses. Remember that FedEx commercial a number of years ago when the guy's where the guy's doing an interview with a guy and it's Mr. Dumass. And instead of calling him Mr. Dumas, he keeps calling him now, Mr. Dumass, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to work hard for you, Mr. Dumass, and Mr. Dumass, this and that. And at the end, the guy goes, it's Dumas, not Dumass. Well, needless to say, the guy didn't get the job. And that's the example that I'm making. People refuse to listen to common sense, no matter what you show them, no matter what you tell them. And so as I'm watching the cable news networks and the Weather Channel yesterday, all these people stuck in attics, and the first responders are saying, well, we're not coming out. We got the calls, but we're not coming out until it's safe for our first responders. And these people think they ought to be rescued immediately. Note to dumbasses, not the Dumases, the dumbasses that refuse to listen to emergency personnel, to governors, to the president, to FEMA, to people that have been through this hundreds of times before. When you are told to evacuate and get your stupid asses out from coastal areas or along rivers, do it. Do not wait. We learned that lesson in Hurricane Andrew and Hurricane Katrina. Yet, oh no, I'm going to ride it out. Ah, it's no big deal. It's a little bit of water, and now all of a sudden they're calling to get rescued. It is just it fails to astonish me how stupid people can be. Now, of course, all of us alphas that are intelligent, that use our brains, that are well read, that are up on current events, we don't screw around. We look and say, hey, we're not going to be stupid. We're not going to be obstinate. Common sense dictates to us that when you have 20 to 40 inches of rain, number one, you're going to get flooding. But then you have a hurricane with winds and tidal surge. On top of that, get the F out. GTFO, get the frick out. End of discussion. All right. I didn't want to start on that, but it just got me going, and that's how it goes. Burt Reynolds, the great Burton Reynolds. Actually, Burt Reynolds, I want to get his full name. Burton Milo Reynolds, Jr., born February 11, 1936, Lansing, Michigan, but grew up in the Florida area, in Florida, down in Palm Beach County. His father, an Army veteran, was the police chief for Riviera Beach, Florida, in Palm Beach County. He was, I believe, a teammate and also a roommate of Lee Corso of ESPN, who we have on the show on a regular basis. Burt Reynolds died just a week or so ago, just over a week. I couldn't get to it last week. But what a, for those of us that are alphas, when you're growing up and you are in your teens, 18, 20, and you see Burt Reynolds, and you see him with Lonnie Anderson, and you see him having a good time driving that Trans Am, you want to be Burt Reynolds. You want to be like him. He always looked like he had fun. I enjoyed his movies. Now, were they many of them Academy Award winners? Not really. But nonetheless, the guy was a huge box office star, charismatic star, and total alpha all the way. Some of the films that he was involved with, certainly one that comes to mind, which really was a noted theatrical work, Deliverance. You got a nice mouth. If you have not seen Deliverance, you got to watch it. It really was one of the great movies. It's about four guys from Atlanta. They go on this like survivalist canoe trip, and they end up meeting some backwoods hillbillies. And there's a scene that's a little disturbing that guys basically are squealing for good reason. But Deliverance, great movie. He was in The Longest Yard, the Smokey and the Bandit franchise. 82, passed away. And I'll tell you, some of the movies that I thought were his best works, one of them he played Jack Horner, a movie director in Boogie Nights that came out in 1997. I remember going to see it. I wanted to go see it. And a number of people didn't want to go see it. I mean, a number of the members of the harem at the time, I said, come on, we'll go see Boogie Nights. I don't want to see this thing. I figured, fine, I went by myself. It was a phenomenal movie. And Burt Reynolds, interesting, he played great on it. He said, I thought that was one of my best theatrical works, but I didn't care for the movie only because he said he cared for the movie, but he didn't like the experience of the movie because he didn't care for the director at the time, who was Jack Horner. Paul Thomas Anderson. He played the director, Jack Horner, but a phenomenal movie. He was the number one box office attraction for a five-year stretch starting in the 1970s. Here are some of his other movies. Starting Over, 1979 with Jill Clayburgh, Candace Bergen. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, 1982 with Dolly Parton. That was a good movie. Best Friends, 1982 with Goldie Hawn, shot in my hometown of Buffalo. The Man Who Loved Women, 1983, Julie Andrews. And he was kind of a tough guy. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He was a tough guy. He basically kind of could be obstinate on some of the sets, and he was offered numerous parts that he didn't take. He was offered to be the star of Star Wars, Han Solo in Star Wars, astronaut Garrett Breedlove in Terms of Endearment, cop John McClane in Die Hard, passed on those. He also passed on the part to play R.P. McMurphy in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and the part of playing the part that was made very famous by Richard Gere in Pretty Woman. So he passed on a number of parts, and he said, I didn't open myself to new writers or risky parts, because I wasn't interested in challenging myself as an actor. I was interested in having a good time. He said, I missed a lot of opportunities to show I could play serious roles. By the time I finally woke up and tried to get it right, nobody would give me a chance. And many people will remember the famous Cosmopolitan centerfold in April 1972. He posed nude on a bearskin rug, and then he graced the cover 7 years later of Playboy, not Playgirl, Playboy. The Cosmo issued sold 1.5 million copies. He said it's been called one of the greatest publicity stunts of all time, but it was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made. I'm convinced it cost Deliverance the recognition it deserved. Started as a running back in high school and played in college, running back in Florida State. Injured, I think, in his sophomore year, and then decided I'm going to go into acting, and sure enough, he did. Longest Yard, another great movie, semi-tough. And that Pontiac Trans Am, that sleek Trans Am that he rode in Smokey and the Bandit, after the movie opened, sales of Pontiac Trans Am soared. He also was a part owner of the Tampa Bay Bandits of the USFL, which was named after Smokey and the Bandit. And let's face it, the man was known. Also, B.L. Stryker, he won an Academy Award for Evening Shade on CBS. But let's face it, when you think about Burt Reynolds, you think about Lonnie Anderson. And there was a great story that was told to me by Gene Deckerhoff, the voice of the Florida State Seminoles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Touchdown, Seminoles! One of the great play-by-play men of all time. No question about it. And playing golf one time, a number of years ago, at a Florida Broadcasters Convention. And I don't know how the subject, you know, Burt was a very big Florida State alum, and really was very close to Bobby Bowden, very close to the program. And so he would appear at a lot of the booster dinners and just was out and about. And so he was at one dinner, And Gene Deckerhoff tells, and I can't remember if Gene tells me that he was the one that said this or somebody else on the dais said it. But he comes up and he says, Bert, I really feel sorry for you. And people are looking around thinking, what the hell? He goes, I feel sorry for you because you are married to Lonnie Anderson. Of course, everybody's like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Then the guy, he finishes, he says, because you got nothing else to fantasize about in life. And, of course, it drew a big chuckle and so on. And let's face it, Lonnie Anderson, even today in her 70s, looks fantastic. And back in the day when he married her right after the WKRP in Cincinnati when she played Jennifer Marlowe, the blonde, bodacious receptionist, come on, what alpha male at the time did not want to bang Lonnie Anderson? That was every adolescent and every teen and young adult heterosexual male's fantasy to be with Lonnie Anderson. And even today, as I said, in her 70s, she looks marvelous. You look marvelous, darling. You really do. Very interesting. I was watching Netflix or Amazon Prime. I can't remember which one. Got to be about 6 weeks ago. And I'm flicking around, and I get this movie suggestion called The Last Movie Star, and it's with Burt Reynolds. And Burt did this last year. I think it was about 2017 that because it was released in March. I think the end of March it was released. It's about an aging actor, very big screen actor, gets lured into accepting an award at a rinky-dink film festival in Nashville. And it's basically, there's some funny parts, but there's a lot of serious parts. And he kind of goes back to where he's from originally in Knoxville, played on the Tennessee football team. A lot of similarities to Burt Reynolds' real life. And it was very interesting. And it was really an interesting, so I figured, let me watch this movie. I watched the preview. It looked interesting. I thought it was one of Burt Reynolds' best ever performances. And at the time, Burt did not look, he looked like he was in frail health, failing health. Not failing health, but just frail. He looked a little frail. And you got to love Burt. Still had the toupee. Still wore the rug at the top, but he still looked good. It was a great movie. It was a serious movie. And to me, I kept thinking there are a lot of similarities. Football star goes back. He ends up going to Knoxville, and that's where his first wife, I think in the movie he was married like three or four times, but the first woman was the love of his life, and he wants to go back, and she happens to be, she's suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia, and he finds her and takes her out to where he first proposed to her in Knoxville. And it's just a really interesting movie in how he develops a bond with a young girl who didn't even know who the hell the guy was, but back in the day he was huge. So the parallels between The Last Movie Star, the character that Burt Reynolds played in The Last Movie Star, and in his real life story, just on the same path. So my suggestion, if you have a chance, definitely watch The Last Movie Star. I can't remember. Do a search on Netflix. I think it was on Amazon Prime, but it is well worth it. The Last Movie Star, starring Burt Reynolds. And Lee Corso last week on ESPN College Football Game Day did a very nice tribute to Burt Reynolds. Let's face it. Burt Reynolds was an alpha male, without a doubt. Great movies. And a lot of guys growing up wanted to be like Burt. He had the swab. He had the gunslinging type mentality, had the balls, and just had the attitude. Rest in peace, Burt Reynolds, at the age of 82.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
Cigar, check. Steak, check. Adult libation, check. Hot stacked dame with nag feature disengaged, check. Proceed with Cigar Dave Pleasure Maneuvers.
And a membership to the Cigar Dave Officers Club should be checked. If it is not, that is an issue we must address. The August 2018 Officers Club selection of the Fonseca Classic should have been received by all members. They did go out late. Again, what has gone on in Nicaragua has had a ripple effect with cigars coming in from other countries because of the customs backups. Nicaragua is a hotbed. In fact, I just saw that Drew Estate canceled one of their big events down in Nicaragua. They're postponing it. They canceled it, going to reschedule for the fall of 2019 because of the civil unrest going on in Nicaragua. Hard to believe. Nicaragua was relatively stable until about 5-6 months ago, and certainly it has changed dramatically with the regime that is in power. But the Fonseca Classic, beautiful Dominican, creamy, mild to medium flavored cigars you should have received. For September, they will be the Officers Club selection coming from Rocky Patel. We have narrowed it down to two selections. I will make the announcement next week. We're just waiting to see which one's going to get out of the aging room first and out through customs and out from Nicaragua. So we've got it down to two of their new cigars. It's going to be one of them, that I can tell you. And we'll probably announce it on Twitter and Facebook and on our website later on this week. If you're not a member of the Officers Club, go to CigarDave.com right now. Click on Officers Club. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. You will not go wrong.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the water in Buffalo. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold. All three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate, featuring an Ecuadorian De Florada wrapper. The Gurkha Marquesa, very Cubanesque all the way around from flavor and packaging. With an earthy Sumatra wrapper, Gurkha Marquesa is a bold, well-balanced, medium-bodied, and spicy cigar. The Gurkha Ghost Gold, a little different than the regular Gurkha Ghost, more flavor, a little bit bolder, featuring an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Instead of a sweet flavor on the Gurkha Ghost, it's a more nutty and earthy profile. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, three new cigars just launched.
This is Carl Lindabat. Join us the week of 17 September for Kristen Schrader on Monday, Barry Tippin on Tuesday, the Sheriff on Wednesday, our DA on Thursday, and Mike DeQuisto on Friday. A whole week of politics, law and order, and rebuilding our city. All of this, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Join us for the third annual Nick Dahl Memorial Golf Tournament on September 22nd. Proceeds from this event sponsor housing for local homeless veterans at the Reading Veterans Resource Center. Since 2016, this event has sponsored housing for 41 veterans. Having a safe place has enabled many of these vets to begin rebuilding their lives by receiving much-needed VA medical care. Many have obtained employment, enrolled in college, or even transitioned into their own housing. Together, we are making a difference for our local veterans. For more information, call 227-780.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Lightation Maneuvers.
Well, the October Officers Club selection is going to come from A.J. Fernandez, one of the great manufacturers down in Nicaragua. So I wanted to pull out a few cigars and get my palate properly ready for the October Officers Club. And I'm not going to tell you what that selection is just yet, but I'm going to select, or I have selected, a cigar that when I was at the Cigar Retailers Convention, ran into Frank Santos of AJ Fernandez, and he said, "General, you got to try some of these Enclave Habanos. We've changed some things. Just take some of these and smoke them." So I took some Enclave Habanos as well as some of the Enclave Broadleaves. But the Habano just absolutely was spectacular. So I've selected the AJ Fernandez Enclave Habano for my Litation cigar today. It is a very unique blend. Uses a very rich Habano Rosado wrapper from Ecuador with a Cameroon binder. So right off the bat, you're going to get that Ecuador Rosado, that nice sun-grown taste, and that Cameroon with a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of spiciness. And then they use some A.J. Fernandez Piloto Cubano and Nicaraguan select fillers that really give the cigar a unique combination, a taste profile of some spice, some cedar, some cinnamon, some pepper. It's very, very unique. It is a great, just a nice cigar. Suggested retail in the $7 to $8.5, $9 category. You cannot go wrong. It's on the medium plus side. Medium plus, not quite super full, but on a scale of 1 to 10, it's definitely in the 7 to 8 category. So some very nice flavor. Some nice strengths made at Tabacalera Fernandez in Esteli, Nicaragua. And again, draped in this beautiful reddish-hued Rosado Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Absolutely fantastic. And I have selected the Churchill. 7 inches in length, 52 ring gauge. Nice, large-size cigar. And again, for this cigar, we're looking roughly about $8 suggested retail. You cannot go wrong.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Well, I got the self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready to go.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
Well, from the Cigar Dave R&D Research and Development Laboratories, the guys that wear the white coats with the pocket protectors and the pens in the pocket protectors, they have given me a new model. Well, it's the same model. It's the Mala. Make America Litate Again, the Mala, but they've added another flame to it. So now it's got 4 unique flames on here, and it's a little bit different variation. So we're calling this Mala V2.0, version 2.0. Take a listen to that. That's what I would use today to ignite this AJ Fernandez magnificent Enclave Habano.
Cigar pre-litation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. Not quite the perfect cut. Let me do that one more time. That now is the perfect cut. I just needed to get a tad more of the cap off. When you take the head of the cigar off, it should be taken off just above the shoulders where the cigar curves in. And I did it just a bit too high, but now I've got a perfect cut. And now I'm going to take my Cigar Dave R&D Laboratory Mala Make America Litate Again version 2.0 and gently toast the foot of this cigar, taking my time. No rush. And again, I'm not going to stick the flame right on the foot of the cigar. I am going to allow heat to cause combustion. And as I do that, let me remind you as we celebrate, continue to celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, celebrating bourbon and celebrating American whiskeys and American spirits. In the next hour, for the entire hour, we'll be joined by Dave Picarell, noted master distiller. He was the master distiller of Maker's Mark for 14 years. Who doesn't love the Maker's 46? Phenomenal, phenomenal bourbon. And for the last number of years, he has been a consultant as well as a master distiller to many craft distilling startups. And he has consulted Whistle Pig and St. Augustine Distillery, Garrison Brothers, working on a project for Metallica. Just some great, great craft distillers. And as I puff and rotate, we will... Wow, fantastic. We will have Dave on talking about his background and Makers, because let's face it, Makers, really the first super premium bourbon in the country. And then we'll talk about some of the unique craft distilled bourbons and whiskeys. It's also involved in a very unique project at the George Washington Mount Vernon Estate, where they have recreated the original distillery from 1798 and making George Washington rye whiskey the same recipes that were used in 1798, because George Washington took copious notes and they were able to find it, and they are using the same production method. So we'll talk to him about that. One final touch on my A.J. Fernandez Enclave Habano. Let me take a few puffs. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Great aroma. Wow. Great taste. A.J. Fernandez has been making cigars now, got to be about, I want to say, 15 years. Started making cigars for Rocky Patel. And now you look, General Cigar has cigars made by A.J. Fernandez. Altadas, everywhere you look, A.J. is around. Great factory. He's created great cigars, and now he's really got a push for some of his incredible, incredible brands, his own brands that he has made. And I can tell you that his booth at the Cigar Retailers Convention was absolutely packed. So we will be featuring an A.J. Fernandez cigar for the October Officers Club selection. We'll bring on Frank Santos, his marketing director, talk a little bit about some of their great blends and great cigars. Now, as I take a few puffs, I got to tell you something. I almost don't want to stop puffing because the flavor and the aroma of this A.J. Fernandez Enclave Habano is just magnificent. But I need the proper accompaniment.
Scotch, so, bourbon, and beer.
Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
Let's break out the bottle of 50 Stone Highland-style single malt whiskey from Maine Craft Distilling up in Portland, Maine. I had the opportunity to visit Portland, Maine Craft Distilling 2 years ago, and we did a great hour from there, and we talked to their founder and master distiller, and I've got to tell you, their lineup is fantastic. If you ever get to Portland, Maine, it is worth the drive. They moved in about, I want to say about 6-8 months ago into some newer facilities, bigger. They've outgrown it. And Sergeant Steve, I think we've got a picture of their big distillation unit. I'm trying to remember what it was called. I think it was called Frankenstill is what they called it. Homemade.
Yes, I mean, we have it. Yes, I'll put that on Twitter.
Fantastic. It was really, they built it from scratch. They didn't buy it. They figured, hey, you know what? We're tight on funds. We're going to make our own. And I got to tell you, that Frankenstill makes phenomenal, phenomenal spirits. This 50 Stone whiskey is absolutely magnificent. It honors a nostalgic unit of measurement where 50 stones of barley makes one barrel of whiskey. So what they do at Maine Craft Distilling, they floor malt their Maine-grown barley, and they get the complexity and just the new flavor nuances, and they create a whiskey that is unique to Maine. In fact, everything they make at Maine Craft Distilling primarily sourced from Maine. Maine has barley. They don't have corn in Maine. So consequently, they make a Scotch-style whiskey. Now, it's a single malt American-made whiskey. It's not a bourbon because it's not at least 51% corn, and it's not aged in new oak barrels. But it is a whiskey. So it is a malted, just a single malt whiskey made from barley. And the aroma on this, it's got a very light amber gold color to it. Let me say cheers. Wow. This tastes... Now, it's a little young. They only age it, I want to say, about 18 months, maybe 2 years. So it's not overly aged. You definitely get the unique barley taste. But you get enough of the wood to say, this is not a bourbon-style whiskey. This is definitely more of a Highland-style, a Scotch-style whiskey. Take another taste. Got a little spice on the way down, a little sweetness. Definite wood notes to it. This is definitely not a strong whiskey, but it's definitely not as tame of a whiskey as an older age spirit. But very, very nice. And every bottle they make of 50-stone Highland-style whiskey at Bancroft Distillers goes right out the door. And by the way, got my allergies acting up here. I usually get them in Florida right around like October, November. This year they're early. And if I sound a little different, that's because got the allergies flaring up. I've been on the Sudafed, every 12 hours. They don't make the 24-hour Sudafed anymore. You can take one tablet a day, but I think they were worried that people were going to make all sorts of illicit drugs. Now when you go to buy Sudafed, you got to give them an ID. It's crazy. But I will tell you, this 50-stone whiskey, very soothing down the throat. Even though I don't have a sore throat or anything, I can just you can tell I sound a little bit nasally, but I feel fine, feel fantastic. Just a little of the allergies, but I'll tell you what, the allergies not impinging on my ability to get and detect great aromas from my A.J. Fernandez Enclave Habano and my Main Craft Distilling 50-Stone Whiskey. All right, when we come back, I've got to get into talking about this Me Too, hashtag Me Too movement. Whatever, it is amazing in this country. We always go from one extreme to the other. And as I've stated, those men that were scumbags that pulled some shenanigans that were not appropriate, no question, they deserve to be dealt with appropriately. But now we're seeing everything falling into Me Too. If you look at a woman the wrong way, or if you send her a text message, a business text message that's harshly worded, all of a sudden, hashtag Me Too. It happened at CBS, 60 Minutes. I've got some other instances that I want to talk about. We're seeing it with Judge Brett Kavanaugh with the little DiFi, the Dianne Feinstein memo supposedly from high school. But this is getting out of control now. So when I come back, I'm going to address it. I'm going to give you my take on the hashtag MeToo movement that's gone hashtag out of control.
Get the latest cigars.
This is Diane Hawks with the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
Tell your boss and your mom that you're busy on September 29th because you're going to the Red Sun Festival to rock out while helping car fire relief. It's a full-volume rock fest on the Reading Civic Auditorium lawn with floaters. Lit. Candlebox. And headliners, AWOL Nation. $5 from every ticket. All, yes, all the festival's net proceeds, plus donations from the bands, are going to car fire relief efforts. Check out RedSunFestival.com. It's four rock acts in one day with plenty of bars, food trucks, and vendors. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 for car fire relief. It's rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th. Grab tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Reading Civic Auditorium box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Well, this cigar delivers a lot of spice, a lot of flavor, and in my opinion, it's the best cigar we make.
As usual, we can't agree. But guess what? There's a great cigar for everyone. I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigars are not a safe alternative to cigarettes.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2. Sheep's carcass. The General viciously shreds the enemies of pleasure and licks his blood-soaked chops with the taste of victory.
Great music to relax me as I take some fabulous puffs on my A.J. Fernandez Enclave Habano, and I'll take a sip of my Maincraft Distilling 50 Stone Highland Style Whiskey. And I need to be relaxed for this segment because I know I'm going to get worked up. Hashtag worked up. In this country, we always go from one extreme to the other. We don't have any moderation. So, for example, in this Me Too movement, we've gone from people and men like Harvey Weinstein and now Les Moonves, who absolutely deserve to be called to task and put to shame for what they did. I mean, when I read Les Moonves dropped his pants and made a woman give him oral sex and harm women's careers, I'm sorry. That's the actions of a scumbag, period. That's not an alpha male. That's a scumbag. But what has happened now is that we've got all these other men that are getting caught up in the Me Too movement. If you say good morning to a woman now the wrong way, all of a sudden, you're going to get tweeted about saying, a man looked at me the wrong way. A man this morning to me said good morning when I've had a bad morning. Hashtag me too. We go from one extreme to the other. It's never enough just to say, look, there's a small percentage of men that are scumbags, that are total skeezballs. Their behavior is boorish. It is unacceptable. Harvey Weinstein, this week there was a tape coming out showing how the guy wants one of the actresses that comes to visit him or whatever. He tries to cop a hug. Like, how desperate. Look at the guy. All you have to do is look at these guys. They can't get women on their own. So they use their power to try to not seduce women, but to intimidate women. I'm sorry. Trying to intimidate a woman is not going to get her moist. That does not work. It will never work. And let's face it, look at Harvey Weinstein. Look at Michael Moore. These guys look like unmade beds. They look like they need a bath and a shave. Would anybody go near Harvey Weinstein if the guy wasn't the head of a big motion picture firm or a big entertainment executive? Hell no. And when you see guys like Charlie Rose that did this over and over, I'm sorry, like, here, sit on the couch. Or Matt Lauer that has a remote control door closer? Come on. Obscene and absurd. So these guys that get caught in that, they deserve it because they knew damn well their behavior not only was not unacceptable, it's impolite and it's boorish. But now what we're seeing is everybody getting caught into this. Let me give you a perfect example. Norm MacDonald, comedian. Said earlier this week, he was former Saturday Night Live cast member, told The Hollywood Reporter that, and I'm quoting here, he was happy the Me Too movement had slowed down a little bit. Now, I agree with him Because we had this rush where all of a sudden everybody is me too, me too, me too, me too, me too. And it's kind of slowed down. And all he said was, look, you know, I can interpret that as, hey, I'm glad to see that maybe all the people that were part of the Me Too, that were victims of Me Too, maybe they've all come out and maybe it's done. Glad it slowed down a little bit. He said, people used to receive a second chance, but now, and I quote, there is no forgiveness. And he's right. Now, it depends on the actions. Harvey Weinstein, I'm sorry. You physically try to assault a woman or rape a woman, I'm sorry. That doesn't deserve, you know, a second chance. You know what you're doing. But if it's an instance where, whatever, you say something, a politically insensitive, incorrect joke or a sexual innuendo joke, I'm sorry. That does not, in my estimation, merit someone getting fired and losing umpteen years of good service over something that may have been said innocuously. Or somebody sends, you know, a picture, I get all these pictures all the time from friends, and, you know, somebody's around, they go, let me see it. You show it to them, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody could say, hey, well, you know, it is kind of a little inappropriate. Okay, great. I get that. But the problem today is that we're going way the hell overboard. And here's a perfect example. Norm MacDonald gets castigated by members of the Hollywood community. And MacDonald mentioned that Louis C.K., who was accused of sexual assault, or sexual misconduct, and Barr, who was fired from her show in Maine, you know, he used them as examples, but he tweeted an apology and said, look, I don't defend their actions, but, you know, we've gone a little overboard. Well, guess what happened? The Tonight Show was going to have Norm MacDonald on to promote his new Netflix show, which actually debuted yesterday, called Norm MacDonald Has a Show. Isn't it Norm MacDonald Has a Farm, E-I-E-I-O? Norm MacDonald Has a Show, E-I-E-I-O. So he's going to go on the Tonight Show to promote his new show. What happened? The Tonight Show canceled his appearance after he got some criticism for his comments about the Me Too movement. Now, I'm sorry. For the Tonight Show to cancel an appearance because the man used his First Amendment right to give his opinion. Now, he didn't go and say, look, I think the Me Too movement is totally ridiculous. Men should be able to rape women. Men should be able, in positions of power, to berate women and abuse women. He never said that. He simply said, look, I'm glad the Me Too movement has finally calmed down. And people used to get second chances. And we saw Les Moonves for actions he did. And listen, by what I read, and again, the man is entitled to due process, but from what I read, from all these women coming out, he definitely used his power and was a total scumbag a la Harvey Weinstein. But it is even affected now 60 Minutes because we have seen the executive producer, Jeff Fager, longtime executive producer of 60 Minutes, was fired on Wednesday. Apparently, he sent a text message to CBS News correspondent Jerrica Duncan, who was investigating and covering the network's sexual harassment accusations against him. Apparently, some people said that he allowed wild things to go on at parties and so on and so forth. But she reached out last Sunday to Fager for his response to allegations in the New Yorker magazine that he had groped or touched CBS employees at company parties. Now, here's the thing. If you're at a company party and, you know, you go up and hug somebody, I'm sorry. We've gotten way sensitive when there's a difference between groping, grabbing a woman's boobs, and just hugging someone. Well, he basically said, look, if you repeat these false accusations without any of your own reporting to back them up, you'll be held responsible for harming me. Be careful. There are people who lost their jobs trying to harm me, and if you pass on these damaging claims without your own reporting to back them up, that will become a serious problem. Well, he was firm in his statement, and of course, she had to go crying and whining to CBS News president, who then terminated him. And then Jeff Glor, who is the anchorman with the least amount of gravitas in the history of network news, goes on and says, we're all behind you. What he did was unacceptable. Grow a set, Glor. Grow a set. Enough of this Me Too movement. We'll celebrate Bourbon Heritage Month next on the Cigar Dave Show.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. It has been a day of relentless rain in the Carolinas. Tropical Storm Florence just hovering over the region, barely moving and dumping a lot of water. And now at least 11 people have been confirmed killed. In Fayetteville, North Carolina, Mayor Mitch Colvin announcing new evacuations are in place near two swollen rivers.
Residents in flood-prone areas, especially near the Cape Fear River, should go to one of the county's seven shelters or residents of higher ground, family member, friends.
North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says it's going to be another dark night for many of his state's residents, so hunker down, stay off the streets, and stay safe.
More than 800,000 people throughout the state are currently without power, and utility crews are beginning to work now to restore electricity to people.
More than 2 feet of rain has fallen in some places, with forecasters saying there could be an additional 1.5 feet by the end of the weekend. Members of the National Transportation Safety Board are in Boston to investigate this week's series of gas explosions. NTSB spokesman Keith Holloway.
We want to look at Columbia Gas's pipeline integrity program. We want to know any testing that may have occurred on this pipeline, any failures that may have occurred, any inspections, any repairs that may have occurred.
Those explosions left dozens of homes in ruins, killed a teen driver in his car, and injured at least 25 others. The Wall Street Journal reporting that President Trump is going ahead with plans to announce new tariffs on about $200 billion of Chinese imports, and that tariff level will likely be set at about 10%. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo accusing his predecessor, John Kerry, of actively undermining U.S. policy on Iran by meeting several times recently with Iran's foreign minister on Thursday. President Trump called those meetings illegal. More on these stories at townhall.com.
September 17, 1787, the delegates of the Constitutional Convention signed that document, our great Constitution, in Philadelphia. Thus, each September, we celebrate Constitution Day. And though the framers never imagined the cell phone, they did ensure your right to free speech and self-determination, which is exactly what Patriot Mobile is all about. Patriot Mobile celebrates the Founding Fathers and your values, and it is the only cell phone carrier that supports conservative causes like the Susan B. Anthony Fund, the NRA, Heritage Foundation, while also providing you the same nationwide, reliable service with unlimited talk and tax for less money, no hidden fees. So in honor of that day in 1787, Patriot Mobile is offering all data plans for $17.87 for your first month of service. Plus, they'll send you a pocket constitution absolutely free. Make the switch today. Go to patriotmobile.com/Hugh or call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Get unlimited talk, text, and data for your first month, $17.87 plus a free pocket constitution. Go to patriotmobile.com/Hugh or 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Let's celebrate the Constitution Day and support our rights one call at a time.
The New York Times has corrected a story headline that suggested UN Ambassador Nikki Haley ordered the installation of costly curtains at the official New York residence of the U.S. ambassador.
The allegation was the banner headline in the paper of record after a White House official in the Obama administration, Brett Bruen, first posted to Twitter that the curtains cost over $50,000. But it turned out they were ordered in 2016 during the Obama administration when Samantha Power was ambassador. The Times added a correction and changed its headline. It said, quote, an earlier version of this article and headline created an unfair impression about who is responsible for the purchase in question. Keith Peters, Washington.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection offering condolences to family and friends of the victims of a Border Patrol agent suspected of killing several women. Juan David Ortiz arrested early Saturday, charged in the deaths of four women who are believed to have worked as prostitutes. This is Town Hall News. A California utility is vowing to replace 3,400 miles of overhead power lines with insulated wire to reduce the risk of them sparking when hit by tree limbs or other objects.
Southern California Edison has announced that it aims to replace the lines by 2025 to align itself with legislation that California lawmakers have sent to the governor to sign to prevent wildfires. Sparking power lines are one of the leading causes of California's wildfires. Wildfires have killed dozens of people and destroyed thousands of homes in recent years.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. And police say a man died after being attacked by a shark off a beach on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. Wellfleet Police Lieutenant Michael Hurley says the 26-year-old man from Revere succumbed to his injuries, that is, after the attack off Newcomb Hollow Beach in Wellfleet at around noon. Witnesses say he was boogie boarding when the shark aggressively attacked him. More on these stories can be found at townhall.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
KCNR Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now. Fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Well, we continue our celebration of National Bourbon Heritage Month, the entire month of September. Again, this has got to be my favorite month because we've got the start of college and NFL football. National Bourbon Heritage Month. The weather, at least here in the cigar city of Tampa, starts to cool down a little bit. And so we get ready to end the year, the last quarter, and what a great way to combine cigars and great spirits. And we have a very special guest, an industry icon, that will join us this hour as we continue talking American whiskeys and bourbons and other American spirits. And it always culminates the last Saturday of the month. We will have a giant tasting, and I can tell you that about three of the spirits I've got right in front of me, bourbons and American whiskeys, we will definitely include them on our gigantic National Bourbon Heritage Month Tasting Maneuver Show. And we welcome you back, hour number two of the Cigar Dave Show, the general and the foremost authority on cigars, spirits, diversions, dice, dames, the alpha male, good life, front and center from Command Center Alpha here in the Cigar City. And it is my pleasure to welcome a giant in the world of bourbon and distilled spirits. We are joined right now by Dave Pickerell, who now has his own firm called Oakview Spirits, but for many, many years, he was the master distiller at Maker's Mark. And let's face it, who doesn't love some Maker's 46? Dave, it is great to have you on the Cigar Dave Show.
Ah, thank you. It's good to be on.
All right, Dave, so tell us, first of all, before we get into how you became a master distiller at Maker's and then you embarked on your own venture really as a consultant and helping so many craft distillers set things up, but give us about your background. Where are you from originally? And give us a little bit about your education and how you got interested in the distilled spirits industry.
Well, I grew up just outside of Dayton, Ohio, in kind of a – I'll classify it as a lower blue-class collar community, and when our family deal was on Sundays, we'd go for a drive. And you couldn't go for a drive without running past a factory or two. And every time I'd be up on my knees, this is before seatbelts, and I'd be peppering Dad with questions. You know, what's that tank for? Why is that pipe over there? How come there's smoke coming out of that thing? And I'd get maybe three or four questions in, and Dad would go, son, the only person that understands that's the chemical engineer. And I think he really just meant, shut up, I'm not answering any more of your stupid questions. But by the time I was 5 years old, I remember we were passing a Kimberly-Clark toilet paper plant, and there was about a four-story tall stack of reject toilet paper out front, and I start peppering Dad with questions again, and he hits me with that same answer. And I came out of my seat, and I grabbed the back of his seat, and I said, then I'm going to be the chemical engineer because I need to understand these things. And that's really the only thing I ever wanted to do in my life. By the time I was 10, I knew I needed every science and math course known to man and that somebody else was going to have to pay for college. And so I started doing sports just so that I could see if I could earn a scholarship. And lo and behold, West Point offered me a scholarship to play football. And they didn't have chemical engineering, but they had chemistry. But I figured, well, I'm moving the ball in the right direction. So I majored in chemistry, served my five, and I was getting ready to get out. West Point calls up and says, hey, you know, you were a really good student. You got us some notoriety with some of your published papers, and we think we owe you. Would you like to come back as a professor? And I said, all right, I know there's more to this story, so let's have it all. And they said, well, for the mere cost of an additional 6 years, we'll get you a master's in any chemically related industry. And I said, chemical engineering? They said, sure. So I agreed. And they sent me to the University of Louisville. While I was there studying, my mentor discovered that I'm an idiot savant at distilling. And I got, like on the distillation test, I got a 99, and the next high score was a 35. And they started calling me a grain man. And when I finally finished my military obligation, my mentor just says, the beverage alcohol industry needs you. And he found a consulting job in Louisville that just did beverage alcohol and just put me in it. And so that's how I got started. One of my clients was Maker's Mark, and I'd been consulting for him on and off for about 5-6 years. And one day Bill Samuels just walked out of his office and said, did you know that we're looking for our next master distiller? I said, no, sir, I didn't. He goes, well, that explains why he didn't apply. He says, we just exhausted our whole candidate pool, didn't find anybody we like. We're tired of looking. We like you, and if you want it, the job's yours. And that's how I started being a master distiller. I stuttered for the only time in my life, and it took me about a minute just to say yes, please, and started on the most wonderful jaunt a person could ever have in their lifetime.
Well, I can see now that, because there's an interesting story, because you actually serve as the master distiller for George Washington's distillery in Mount Vernon. And let's face it, the father of our country, George Washington, was not a teetotaler. He also was a distiller. So you were in the Army. I can kind of see the correlation there.
Yeah, I love history, and I love military history in particular. And so George Washington's always been one of my favorite figures. And so back in 2001, when they decided that they were going to rebuild and reestablish George Washington's distillery, they asked Makers if I could be a part of the project. And Makers said yes. And I tell people that's the only mistake Makers ever made. Because while I was working on George Washington's distillery on the side, I fell in love with rye. And as soon as the rye culture came back, I had to leave Maker's Mark and go do things in the rye world.
And we'll get into talking about rye, because really everybody thinks bourbon, and we always say it's the quintessential American spirit, but rye was really the first unique quintessential American spirit before bourbon.
Oh, yeah. Rye predates bourbon by a good 150 years or so. And so I think rye could actually be America's historic spirit. Bourbon wouldn't have existed had it not been for a bunch of distillers getting fed up with the government back in the late 1700s and deciding that they were too close to the flagpole, so they put all their rye and their stills in the boat and headed south and along the Allegheny Monongahela rivers, and then they hit the falls of the Ohio at Louisville, and got out and found all these farmers that didn't know what to do with all the grain they had. And that's really what started bourbon, was all the rye guys floating down the river.
Dave Pickerell, who is the noted master distiller and the founder of Oakview Spirits, a consulting firm now that consults many of the craft distillers across the country, but really made his name at Maker's Mark as the master distiller, our guest as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. So, Dave, let's talk about you leave West Point. You got a master's degree in chemical engineering, and how do you hook up with Maker's Mark?
Well, there was this little company that doesn't exist anymore that was called Rotec, which is a little consulting firm in Louisville that just did beverage alcohol. And the principal of the company, John Meredith, is probably the third smartest man I ever met. And he just started this little consulting firm, and Makers was one of our clients. And so when I came on board, I did all of the environmental consulting for the company, and Makers had a little environmental issue that had a pinhole leak in an oil line. And so that immediately fell to me to go take care of it. But from time to time, over 5 years, I would just do a little design work from here from time to time and, you know, fix a condenser or fix a cooler or whatever. Just whatever they needed something, I'd pop down there and take care of it, because they didn't have an engineer on staff. And so they got familiar with my line of work and what I could do and my understanding of distillation. When the job came open, literally, I was standing there doing work, and Bill Samuels just waved me over and offered me the job. My application process was non-existent. He just said, "We like you, and if you want this, it's yours." And it was kind of astounding. And then being able to sit at the feet of Bill Samuels for 14 years and watch Makers grow. When I started consulting for Makers, they were about 75,000 cases a year. When I left in 2008, we were making 1.56 million cases a year.
That's incredible, just the incredible growth. So you really saw when you started at Makers, it was well known, but really, would you say it was more like a boutique type of bourbon?
Well, it was mostly a state bourbon. It was almost exclusively Kentucky, a little bleed over into the adjoining states. And it wasn't until after I got there that they started branching out to becoming a regional and then national and then international brand. It just hit all the things at the right time. Makers was really the first premium spirit. Their first ad slogan was "Taste expensive and is."
And that's right.
That's when it was. Everybody was selling their whiskey for about $4.99, and Makers was selling a bottle for $6.99. And so it was a 50% premium. And that was unheard of at that era. They were really the brand that put premium and ultra premium and super premium, into Americans' vernacular when it comes to spirits.
And when we look at the Maker's Mark, I think what's very unique about that is that it does have some soft red winter wheat, which really makes it very smooth. And instead of the usual rye, they put the wheat in. And to me, that's why it's just such a smooth drinking bourbon.
Oh yeah, I've always thought of Makers as a great spot to enter the category because it's easy. It's not an aggressive product at all. It's just an easy drink, and anybody can drink it. And that was what attributed to its success is that it was smoother and mellower because it had wheat instead of rye in the mash bill.
Now, Dave, when you were at Maker's Mark, were you involved with the creation of Maker's 46?
That actually happened just right after I left.
That was really kind of a Samuel swan song.
That was his last major deal before he turned over the reins.
Yeah, I know on that one. I mean, Maker's 46 is to me just a premier bourbon, and they use an innovative wood staving process which matures the maker's mark. I know it casts strength, and then they put some French oak staves in there, and it's just it's a fabulous whiskey. And I know that Makers had a little controversy a few years ago because they wanted to, I think, dilute or take the age statement off, if I'm not mistaken, which most every bourbon has done now. But there was a huge rebellion from the Makers consumers and their ambassadors, and they kind of rescinded their decision at the time.
You know, Makers has an unbelievable following of people, and they're very, very passionate people. And, you know, and kind of their mantra is don't mess with my whiskey. And I think maybe Makers miss a, you know, just didn't quite apprehend the full force of their consumers and their desire for the whiskey not to change in any respect.
Well, and they were always known as really a premium price product, and people think of a premium price product, they want a premium product. So,
right.
But it was very interesting how over the course of a weekend things really changed. So you were at Maker's Mark for how long, you said, 15 years?
So I consulted from 89 to 94, and then in 94 I became the master distiller and was there until 2008.
Okay, so about 14 years. Fantastic.
Right.
Dave Pickerell of Oakview Spirits, former master distiller at Maker's Mark, and now a noted master distiller for hire, really, for many craft distilleries across the country, our guest. So, Dave, you decide to leave Maker's, and at that point, you became kind of really in the industry known as the man to go to if you are going to create a distillery.
Well, you know, it was the right time. You know, the craft spirit movement was just taking off, and there was a lot of need, and you know, Makers had given me a platform to launch off of, and it was just perfect timing. I've never had to advertise. I get to cherry pick who I take, you know, my goal is to help people to see their dreams come true. I call it putting feet on dreams. And so if somebody's got a dream of seeing a craft spirit company come to life, it's my goal to help them see that happen.
On your website, I'm just looking at everything that you do. I mean, basically, if somebody's got the cash, they can call you and you will guide them, because it's not an easy process to set up a distillery. It's not like you say, great, let's start just buying some corn and some rye and let's get things distilling. There's a lot of governmental regulation. There's a lot of oversight that is necessary. And the other thing is it takes time. And I think a lot of people think, okay, let me just get in. I'm going to make a ton of money. It doesn't work that way.
Right. There's no substitute in bourbon for time. I tell people, you know, I'm holistic. You know, either I can do it or I got a guy. That's one of the benefits of being an old distiller is you got a guy. I want to do all the pieces that they can't do. And I'll even help them raise money if they need it. But whatever it takes to get people off the ground and running, that's what I want to do. And I'm only going to do the parts that they either don't want to do or they can't do.
Yeah, and obviously you enjoy it, and I mean, I'm looking at some of your client roster here, and it reads like a who's who of craft distillers, and we'll talk about some of them, but I'm looking Few Spirits, and we've talked to them, Corsair Artisan Distillery up in Nashville, and in fact, we want to get them on, but Garrison Brothers, High Texas, their whiskeys are phenomenal. We've spoken with them on the show. St. Augustine Distillery, Phil McDaniel. In fact, I've toured the facility up in St. Augustine. That's a very cool facility up there, and it's really become a tourist mecca in St. Augustine. Whistlepig, which we'll talk about, and you got some other interesting projects. So you've really worked with across the country with just a wide variety of entrepreneurs and other people that want to get set up and get into the craft distilling business.
Well, you know, it's just don't pinch me because I might wake up and find out I'm a burger flipper. You know, when I first got started, I had this dream that I could capture 25% of all the craft spirits market. And this was when it was still pretty young, and I didn't really anticipate how fast it would blow up. And 1 year, I took stock, and at the end of the year, I added up all of the medals that craft spirit companies had won across all competitions during that year. And 24.7% of all the medals were clients of mine. So
that's incredible.
That's as close as I ever got to the 25% line, because the next year there were like 600 distilleries that started operation, and I just couldn't stay on top of it anymore.
But, most craft distiller clients that come to you, do they want you to assist them in creating the blend, or do they already have an idea of what they want and you kind of work with them to make that come true?
Generally speaking, they have an idea of what they want. And my job, you know, I tell people that with a few exceptions, my job isn't to tell you what to make. My job is to make it really good. And so I try really, in most cases, I would say most. So a couple notable exceptions would be Hill Rock, Whistle Pig, and Metallica. But other than those, by and large, I tell people, you tell me what you want to make. We go through some tastings and, you know, and they give me some guidance about what they want. And then once we get it narrowed down to what they want, then I start putting all the pieces and parts together to make it, to give them what they want and make sure it's really good.
Dave Pickerell, our guest, noted master distiller for Maker's Mark for many years, and now noted consultant and master distiller to the craft spirit industry. Dave, as a master distiller, you obviously must have a favorite, but as a master distiller, you have to sometimes put away your favorite taste to say, hey, this is the market we're going to capture. Just like a cigar blender may say, hey, look, I like a medium-bodied cigar, but we're going to create a super, super full cigar. So you must have your favorites. Is it difficult for you to deviate from your taste profile when working with some of these craft distillers?
Believe it or not, no. You know, I know what products are supposed to taste like. You know, that's one of the things I love doing is, you know, if I go to like a whiskey fest, you know, the first thing I do when I get there is find out what's being poured that I've never tasted. And then during the evening, I'm going to go and taste those things. So I've got a really good taste memory and I taste across everything. There's probably not a category I haven't worked to understand. And so when somebody says, you know, hey, I want to make a rye whiskey, you know, I'm going to ask them Monongahela or Maryland style, and then we're going to go from there and apply the right techniques and practices. If they say I want to make a bourbon, great. You want a rye bourbon or a wheat bourbon? If it's a rye bourbon, you want it to be a high rye or a low rye? And we just work our way through, and whatever category they want, we're going to do our best to make it the best we can do.
All right, so what is your favorite taste profile, Dave?
I have gravitated. I think, you know, as most people do, as you move along in life, your palate moves. And honest to goodness, you know, my palate is really moving towards more and more savory. So I like things that have a good high rye content to them. But I also like really full-bodied things. And I'm applying finishes more and more to products, you know, whether it's wines or brandies or some novel finish, just to add some fun additional elements to the taste profile.
So when we talk about high rye, definitely a lot of that sizzle, that peppery, when you say savory, you like some of that spice on the palate.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, I like something that you can pair a really nice Maduro with.
There, now you're talking. I was going to say Manuel Quesada of Quesada Cigars, when he talks about a cigar with a full body, he says, General, it's got a lot of personality. So you like your bourbons with a lot of personality. Dave Pickerell, who is the former master distiller at Maker's Mark and now senior engineer master distiller of Oakview Spirits, consultant of the craft distillery industry, our guest as we continue on the Cigar Dave Show.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction, the result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, the Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, drive home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Celebrate your history. Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through October 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Beautiful dancers and amazing drummers sharing our culture. It's hand games, drum contests, vendors, and the history of our land. All proudly sponsored by Redding Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. Redding Rancheria Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through the 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Sharing our culture so that it may live on.
Join us for the third annual Nick Dahl Memorial Golf Tournament on September 22nd. Proceeds from this event sponsor housing for local homeless veterans at the Reading Veterans Resource Center. Since 2016, this event has sponsored housing for 41 veterans. Having a safe place has enabled many of these vets to begin rebuilding their lives by receiving much-needed VA medical care. Many have obtained employment, enrolled in college, or even transitioned into their own housing. Together, we are making a difference for our local veterans. For more information, call 227-780.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Great Willie Nelson, whiskey and weed when it comes to Willie. Probably more weed than whiskey, but probably equal amounts of both. And we continue our celebration the entire month, National Bourbon Heritage Month, and celebrating all American distilled spirits. Pleasure to welcome back to this hour Dave Pickerell, the senior engineer, master distiller, founder of Oakview Spirits, noted master distiller and consultant to the craft distillery industry, and for 14 years, the master distiller at Maker's Mark. You can never go wrong with a bottle of Maker's or Maker's 46. Dave, somebody comes to you, a craft distiller. Let's say I come to you and I say, all right, master distiller Dave, I would like to create a distillery here in the Cigar City. I know nothing about the process. I know what I like to drink. I've got the capital. Guide me. Guide us through the process, how long it takes, what the steps that have to go into it, from A to Z, if you will.
Well, so the first thing we do is we refine exactly what it is they want to do. You know, we'll go if they say, hey, I want to make a bourbon, you know, we'll go get some bourbons. We'll get some high rise, some low rise, some wheaters, and taste through that and say, okay, this is the profile I'm more looking for. Then maybe if they say a low rye, then we'll get a low rye with a young age, a low rye with an old age, a low rye with a finish, and go through a few other things until we can kind of narrow in on what it is they want to do. And then once we start figuring out, okay, what are our sales goals going to be over the next 5 years, 3 to 5 years? So we kind of figure out what's reasonable, and then I start with the hard math. I size all the equipment, get the boilers, the cooling towers, the chillers, the stills, and you know, even down to the design of the still, because that's kind of my specialty is distillation design. And we'll talk vendors for the major equipment, like the still in particular. You know, do we want to do something like Vendome with their column and kettle still? Do we want to do something more pot still like Forsyth? And so we'll pick vendor for the still, then we'll go out for quotes on everything. We're also looking at the space that they've got, you know, what are the fire marshal issues? What are the layout issues? What are the utilities? You know, you need to know how much water, how much natural gas, how much electrical. Do you have sewer lines? Do you have fire lines? So we have to get into all the infrastructure stuff. Then we'll lay it out, order all the equipment, and then start doing all the drawings for the piping and mechanical installation and how we're going to lay down the barrels, and then start getting vendors for the barrels, the grains, and all the other things. And, you know, the process typically from the time somebody says we're really ready to go, we've got the money, we also need to apply for their federal permits, which can take 9 months sometimes. So from the time somebody says, let's do this now, it's going to be 9 months to 2 years before we actually turn the keys over to them.
So it's a long process. And, you know, like in the case of St. Augustine Distillery, they had a very unique proposition in that they took over an old ice factory in St. Augustine, about 8 blocks from the historic downtown St. Augustine area. And what's interesting there is it's become a tourist mecca. And I would say they were actually the distillery that changed the sale laws in the state of Florida, where before a distillery, if St. Augustine made whiskey or gin, or vodka, whatever the case is, they would have to sell it to a distributor, then buy it back, and then sell it. And they finally were able to go to the legislature and lobby to get that changed. And I'll tell you, it's become a huge tourist mecca. And as Phil McDaniel told me, he said, General, we could probably sell every single bottle that we made right out of our factory here, or out of our distillery, but we like having some of the distribution around the state in hotels and in other liquor stores. And I'll tell you, I've got a bottle right in front of me here. And while we move on to that, as we continue talking about it, I think I need a taste. We've been talking about bourbon and rye and all these other great American spirits. I'm going to open up this bottle, and just to let you know that this was from the spring season of 2017, and a bottle that I have just opened up. And what's interesting, very unique about this Florida double cask bourbon is that with the heat in Florida, it's very different than if you're in Kentucky, because if you age these too long with the heat, it's going to be just very woody and just too harsh. And they use a small barrel initially, and then they move it into a larger barrel. So very interesting concept.
Well, you know, you gotta play the hand that Mother Nature deals you. You know, and if you're in Kentucky, you know, the when the whiskey gets down to somewhere around 42 degrees, it just kind of goes to sleep for a while.
Right.
And in St. Augustine, the temperature in the warehouse never gets there, so the whiskey never sleeps. And so we've got, you know, months and months of extra aging time. And, you know, we say our whiskey ages in dog years down there just because it continues to move in and out of the barrel. So you've got to adjust your aging practices to account for the fact that the whiskey's going to age. It's going to extract a lot faster than you would otherwise expect.
Yeah, and what's very interesting, as he said, we went through trial and tribulation. And these small casks, we had them in too long, and it just was way, way too strong, too woody. But I'll tell you, this, taking a sip of this, got some nice warmth, some nice caramel notes on it. You can definitely, you know, taste the corn, and you can taste the fact that it isn't aged, you know, 8 years or 4 years. It's aged, I think, 16 months, but that's okay. It's still a very, very pleasant whiskey or bourbon, and I can tell you that I remember going up there multiple times saying, do you have the bourbon yet? They're like, not yet, not yet, not yet, and boom, when they released it, it went like that. Really successful product.
You know, and I think the one you've got's got some port wine finish on it. Is that correct?
It very well may be. This is just the regular Florida double cask bourbon.
Right.
And yeah, so, I know that they do.
One of the things that's really fun is we were talking. You know, I went down to help them put the initial blend together, and we're tasting it, and we're going, you know what? This could really use a little bit of a time in a port barrel. And we're talking about it. You know, they want to stay local and all this kind of stuff. And one of the things that while we're sitting there talking, St. Sebastian Winery is like right across the parking lot from
that's right.
St. Augustine. And the guy from St. Sebastian calls up and goes, hey, I just dumped a bunch of port barrels. You know anybody that might want them? If we're going, yes, put a bung in them and roll them across the parking lot. So
there you go.
Literally, you can't have a fresher fill barrel. It was just absolutely amazing that it just came out that way, that it was that right at the time we said we thought we needed some, they were right there in our backyard.
It's amazing how life works sometimes. When you least expect it, boom, right in their backyard. And when you think of Florida, you don't think of wineries, and especially having a winery in St. Augustine virtually across the street from St. Augustine Distillery. It really is incredible. So it takes about, Dave, 2 years from the time someone contacts you until the time they are starting distilling. And then after that, if they want to make an aged bourbon whiskey or an American whiskey, whatever the case is, or a rye, you're talking another couple of years minimum after that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that's probably the most overlooked thing is what we do is, you know, when people start up, it's how well capitalized are you and how long can you wait before you have to sell stuff? And we'll try to extend that time. I call it developing cash flow projects. And sometimes it's, you know, selling a vodka or a gin to the tourists, which is, you know, great and helps out, you know, like St. Augustine where you got a ton of tourists. Sometimes it's having a venue where you have weddings at the distillery, like Union Horse Distillery in Kansas City, that they sell tons of event space at their facility. One of my distilleries is a distillery in South Central Virginia called Ragged Branch. And these guys are all ag guys. I mean, literally, to get a job in the distillery, you have to be an ag major. And part of their job is working on the farm. And they raise beef cattle and feed them the spent grain. And they've trademarked the name Bourbon Beef. And so they've been selling bourbon beef at a rate that's kept them from having to sell any unaged or young whiskey or any vodka or gin or anything else. So cash flow projects are always a real key to being able to sit on your whiskey till it's ready.
Well, two great products, bourbon and beef. How can you go wrong?
Right. That's a perfect combination. And then when you
Absolutely.
Can get a premium price for it, it's unbelievable.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned talking about creating some revenue while the whiskey or the bourbon ages. I was up in Maine a couple of years ago in Portland, Maine, and I visited with Luke Davidson, who is the proprietor and master distiller at Main Craft Distilling. And, I mean, they've got a 50-stone whiskey that is just phenomenal. But he said, look, we had to get things going early on, so that's why we created a rum and then a gin, a barley spirit, before we could start selling anything that's aged. And then they launched some aged rums and their 50-stone whiskey. But he said initially, you know, while we were laying all these whiskeys and these rums down in barrels, we had to get some cash flow. And so they created some very unique spirits, and I think that's where you see that in many, many craft distilleries across the country.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, that's part of the fun of it for me is tailoring the cash flow projects to the specific facility and the needs of the distiller and their particular bent on life. And it's great fun to see all the interesting things that you can do when necessity jumps into the picture.
Dave Pickerell, master distiller for 14 years at Maker's Mark, and consultant and master distiller, and really a tutor, mentor to many of the craft distilleries across the country. Our guest as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month and celebrate American spirits as well. Dave, let me ask you, it's about a two-year process from the time someone comes to you till the time they're ready to begin distilling. What kind of capital investment, and I'm sure it depends on how large and so on, but ballpark, give us a range for somebody to say, I want to become a craft distillery. I want to be able to sell product out of our own storefront and also maybe do some distribution in our state through a distributor. What kind of capital investment are people talking about for craft distilling?
It varies whether you're making whiskey or vodka or gin. You can certainly, if all you want to do is make gin or vodka, you can get in a lot lower, but If you want to make a good whiskey and actually make a profit at it, you're probably talking initial investment.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind, right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the water in Buffalo. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold. All three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate, featuring an Ecuadorian De Florada wrapper. The Gurkha Marquesa, very Cubanesque all the way around from flavor and packaging. With an earthy Sumatra wrapper, Gurkha Marquesa is a bold, well-balanced, medium-bodied, and spicy cigar. The Gurkha Ghost Gold, little different than the regular Gurkha Ghost, more flavor, a little bit bolder, featuring an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. instead of a sweet flavor on the Gurkha Ghost, it's a more nutty and earthy profile. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, three new cigars just launched by Gurkha. As cigar connoisseurs, we love sampling cigars with different wrappers, different taste profiles from different countries. And I've got the perfect way that you can sample fabulous cigars delivered directly to you each month. It is the Cigar Dave Officers Club. For $22.95 per month, you will get three of the latest and greatest cigars shipped directly to you each month. We have featured some incredible cigars. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary. From Alec Bradley Cigars, the Prensado Lost Art. We featured the Plasencia Cosecha 146. We had an incredible Davidoff portfolio sampler, and we've got many new cigars that we'll be featuring in the months ahead. So become a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join now. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. The Cigar Dave Officers Club. Join CigarDave.com/Officers Club today.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
In a small shack in Kentucky, I've lived most of my life. And I do things my own way. I don't take no one's advice. I'm a simple man.
Dave Pickerell, master distiller for 14 years at Maker's Mark and noted craft distilling consultant and master distiller to many craft distillers across the country, rejoined us for our final segment. All right, Dave, let's talk about some of the clients that you have worked with. And I'm smoking an A.J. Fernandez Enclave Habano today, and I can tell you that the Enclave Habano is going to go perfectly with the Whistle Pig Straight Rye Risky 10 that is in front of me. And as I pour it, tell us about Whistle Pig. Interesting story there.
Well, Whistle Pig is, was really the first thing that I had in mind to just go after and be a part of myself for the long term. We partnered up, built a distillery in Vermont, and immediately got hit with the fact that the Vermont government is anti-business and took 4.5 years to get a building permit. So we started by using third-party whiskey, which you know, some people really don't appreciate. But, you know, we went out and got exactly what I wanted to make anyway from the only distillery in the world that was capable of doing that, and launched a whiskey that that within 4 months had been rated 96 as the highest ever rated rye whiskey by wine enthusiasts. And we were off to the racetrack. the 10-year-old that you've got, I call Mr. Versatile. It's designed to be consumed however you want. Meat, rocks, water, in a cocktail, however you want it. And certainly pulling up a really nice cigar and just sitting back and sipping it can't be much better than that.
I'll tell you what, this ride got some I'm getting some nice citrus on here. And definitely got a little bit of spiciness to it, but very, very pleasant. Nice, long, very warm on the finish.
And you know, I tell people the finish on Whistle Pig is so long it needs its own zip code.
It really does. On the Cigar Dave Warm Factor, it's a 10. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's go to some. Let's go to Texas. From Vermont, and by the way, I can't believe Bernie Sanders is not business friendly. Who would have thought? But let's go to Texas, and a state that is business friendly. And you got Garrison Brothers, and they have got a great story. You work with them, and I'll tell you what, their whiskeys are absolutely fantastic.
You know, they're one of the first ones to really demonstrate what I call Texas terroir. I mean, you know, the summer, the weather is so hot and so dry there that you get a clearly differentiated maturation. And I don't know, which one do you have in front of you, the regular bourbon or the cowboy?
Oh, No, I got the cowboy. We're going with the alpha male, kicking the ass, 137 proof.
The cowboy bourbon is definitely, you know, an opinionated bourbon that says you need to stand up and salute when you drink this one.
And let me say cheers. I'm going to down the hatch, as we say, take a sip here. And I know Dan told me this was his favorite. Whoa, this is uncut. It is cask strength. This is for the alpha male that really wants a lot of personality coming down the pipe.
It is. It's really good. You know, it just bakes it down there. So you get a little bit of that Texas heat in the whiskey that just really sets this one apart.
All right, let's talk about Metallica, the band. You're working on a Black and American whiskey with them.
Oh, this one is so much fun. This was one of those exceptions that we talked about where the idea was they came to me and it was more like a commissioning, one artist to another. They said, we want to be involved in whiskey. We want to be in it for the long term. Make us something that we can be proud of. And so I took away three things. The band is collaborative. They think out of the box, and they have this process they call metallicizing where they kick things up a notch or two after they're already good. So we've got a networking. I reached out to companies all over North America and got really well-curated supply of nicely aged spirits, Canadian rye, whiskey from Tennessee, from Kentucky, from Indiana, just all over the place, things that you would have been pleased to just take and put your name on. But that wasn't enough. We had to collaborate. So I married them all together. And that's a little out of the box. And then we put it in brandy barrels and then hit it with black noise, which is a process that we're patenting, where you take ultra-low frequency sound waves, in this case Metallica music, and to hit the barrels. And the idea, it's not fast staging, it's just enhancing. But the idea is to get the frequency at the right low pitch so that it will cause the molecules between the wood and the whiskey to vibrate and give you more intimate contact so you can pull some more caramels and things out of the barrel.
That I cannot wait to try. And we're really tight on. Yeah, I can't wait to try that. We're going to link because you've got Hill Rock and Jay Rieger, George Washington Distillery. We're going to put links to all the sites, the craft distillers that you're involved with at CigarDave.com. Dave Pickerell, master distiller for 14 years at Maker's Mark and now the master distiller to many craft distilleries and his own consulting firm, Oakview Spirits. Dave, really want to thank you for joining us as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate being on the show.
Loved having you. Cigar Dave, the general saying, may your humidor always be full. May your cutter always be sharp. May your ash be extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Keep making bourbon great to all the craft distillers and master distillers. Tomorrow, my Bills, it's going to be a long season, but go Bills anyway.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Codwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Codwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.